It's the Healers from the Trap podcast, where a trapped soul has got to go. So let's start breaking barriers and have that conversation. I realize we've never introduced who the hosts of this podcast really are.
Nope, not at all.
So I am DeMaybe, one half of the Light Sisters.
And I am Tierra, one half of the Light Sisters.
Yeah, I guess together we're the Light Sisters. We are the hosts of the Healers from the Trap podcast. We are doing this episode just because we felt like it, I guess.
Yeah, literally, it was one of those things. Hey, let's just do another podcast episode.
Because when it comes to spirituality, your spiritual journey, awakening, or whatever, when you're just trying to figure out life, you go to Google and just start searching up. And we all know we probably diagnosed ourselves with 10 diseases at this point. And we thought we had, well, I don't even know.
I thought I had cancer a few times.
Yeah.
That ain't something to play with. But there's been a few times where I thought I had cancer. Mm-hmm. But instead it was just, you know, a swollen lymph node that I definitely was just like, oh, maybe I'm catching a cold, not cancer. So please, just be very cautious of when you go into Google or WebMD and trying to diagnose yourself with something that you don't have.
So what we're going to do, we're going to actually go through some random questions we found while Google searching when it comes to what are some good spiritual questions to ask yourself when you feel like you're going through a spiritual journey or you're
awakening,
seeking something spiritually or questioning or trying to identify your spirituality?
Or are you just trying to really understand yourself on a deeper level? And people ask these questions and try to figure out like, oh, I want to know if I'm going through a spiritual awakening or if I'm having a really manic attack or something. It doesn't matter. Let's just answer these questions.
So we've never gone through these questions before. So we're just going to read some and take it from there. The first one I found is, do I seek social approval? I like to say I don't, but definitely to some degree I do. Compared to myself 5 years ago, I definitely do not seek nearly as much social approval. But to a point, especially when it comes to trying to like run a business and do things, there's a certain level of social approval that I do seek to be able to like move forward on things. I would say that.
Yeah, I would say, I think all of us, we get to some extent or some level seek social approval. Within this business, I think you kind of have to have that mentality where it's like, you know what, I really don't care about society norms or what people think. But at the end of the day, you kind of do. And I don't think it's a bad thing at all. Like, I think once you find the journey within yourself and you're like, okay, I feel good about myself, you don't have to always rely or depend on other people's approval to be who you are in general. But I do think that within your business and within our business, like, we tend to somehow a little bit seek social approval.
Yeah, I would definitely say for me on a personal level, I've really kind of gotten to the point where I don't really seek social approval. But I don't think seeking social approval is necessarily a bad thing. You have to sit there and look to see what are you seeking social approval for, why, and how often does that happen.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot with social media.
For sure.
Like, when we're, you know, posting our social media pictures or whatever it is, it's not for the approval of other people or society in itself. But we do have to recognize that we have an audience and like what the audience wants to see versus like what we're always trying to put out there regardless, and how we want to present ourselves to other people is important. I don't think that's necessarily seeking approval from, you know, society in general, but I do think it plays a role in how we do present ourselves, because you have your personal self, you have the self that you come off as to other people, and then, you know, there's another side of yourself too. So I think personally, nah, I ain't really about that life, but business wise you have to take that in consideration.
So Tierra, where does your happiness come from?
It comes from within. I think my happiness comes from, I know my happiness comes from within, and I recognize that when I truly started seeing that I wasn't satisfied with being around certain people or doing certain things that people wanted me to do, my happiness truly just comes from my soul. And the only person that can make me happy is me. And I always believe that your emotions are governed by yourself, not by anybody else. So when you are happy, you should be happy because of you, not because of someone else.
So do you think your happiness always comes from yourself then?
I think my happiness majority comes from myself, but I wouldn't give it to the fact that it's only because of me. I wouldn't say that. I would say that, you know, my relations with other people, the things that happen around me, even me seeing somebody make somebody else happy makes me happy. But I wouldn't say it's just me. I would say that it's just, I think the source of it comes within you. A lot of things can make you happy, though. If that even makes any sense. To me, it makes sense, but I don't know how y'all feel.
The question was just, where does your happiness come from? That was all.
Yeah, for me. I think it's a reprogramming of my mind. I had to make sure that my happiness came from me versus from anybody else.
So I'm going to answer the question, do I contribute unconditional love in the life of others? Ooh, y'all, so I've really been on such a great journey when it comes to the definition of love and like trying to figure out what unconditional love is type of thing. Because I realized most of my life I've received conditional love and most of my life I've also given conditional love. Now, I do say, I honestly would say with my heart that I do contribute unconditional love to other people. Not always, because I have to check myself on, I'm so used to doing conditional love, conditions being sometimes time, space, because they love me in this way or they do this for me. I really have to strip myself of that. I'm trying much more now than ever to give unconditional love to others. And if for any reason I feel like I'm not, I then don't necessarily say it's love, or I don't define it as love. I define it as something else, because it doesn't always have to be love at that time. It can grow to be love.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's see.
Real
random. How much power do daily circumstances have over me?
Well, how much power does daily circumstances have over me? For me, I just feel like if daily circumstances have that much power over how I maneuver my way through life, then I would be a mess. Because, like, everybody has their own circumstances and everybody goes through their own things. So the power that it has over me, I don't give it that much power. Not daily circumstances. I look at things in like a long-term way. I think it can have, you know, an effect on how you feel at the moment. But as far as having that question, having power over me, like daily circumstances having power over me, maybe I just don't agree with the whole terminology of it, having power over me as a person. But I don't think it has much power over me. As much power as I give it.
So you're saying on a day-to-day basis, when things happen, you just don't, it doesn't faze you, like it doesn't determine your next moves, like it doesn't have any type of power?
No, I wouldn't say that it doesn't, like, for it to determine my next moves, or I think the circumstances, daily circumstances of what happens in a day can affect how I feel or maybe how I think about going about a situation differently, but it doesn't have power over me. I wouldn't say it doesn't faze me, but it doesn't have power over me. And maybe it's my interpretation of what power over me is versus like, does it have an effect on me? You know, so that's kind of where I'm trying to balance it out a little bit.
How often do I lose my temper?
Today?
Today, yeah.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
No. How often in general do I lose my temper?
You?
Yeah.
No, you don't really lose your temper. I said temple. Rub your temples. You don't lose your temper.
I really don't lose my temper very often.
At all.
Now, there was a phase in my life when I take it back to like my late teens that I would lose my temper a bit. And that was when I feel like I started kind of feeling emotion. that phase kind of phased off within a year or two. But I really do not. Yeah, I rarely. If anybody listening to this podcast knows when Dumaybe lost her temper, especially in the recent 5 years, please let me know, because I cannot think of one time I've lost my temper.
Well, in the recent 5 years, I'm trying to think. What year is this? 2018? Okay. Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't say you lost your temper. I would just definitely say that you were sick or tired of being sick and tired.
Yo, I just, I don't say anything. I cannot feed into a lot of things. Like, I have learned not to say too many words, and you can't repeat yourself too much to people or even to myself. So, I don't think I even allow myself to lose my temper, because my initial thing was like, I just don't care that much. But it's just, I don't take things as personally anymore. It's just one of those things.
Man. Yeah. I would say, yeah.
Tierra, do you cry and laugh easily?
Yeah. Heck yeah, I cry and laugh easily. Sometimes I cry while I'm laughing. Like, I mean, for me, I have trained myself to cry when I need to cry. And I laugh every single day. So, yeah, it's on cue. It's on cue.
All right, let's do a random question. Oh, how hard is it for me to unblock love? There are a lot of love questions coming up.
Love?
To unblock love. That's an interesting question.
That's an interesting question.
Because, yo, on my end, it is so easy for me to block love. Like, I'm sitting there, it's like a full-on
brick wall.
Oh, whoa. I was going to say, it's like a little game, you know, just dodging up, the block. Wait, okay, I'll take the full-on brick wall. But to unblock love, that's a really good question.
Wow. Do we truly unblock love?
Let's think about it. I think it's possible. Because I'm speaking from my own personal experience, because I am a love blocker for days. And when I say I love in such a beautiful way, I love giving love. I do love receiving love, but receiving love is something I have just recently learned to do. So my natural instinct is when someone's really showing me love, I start blocking. I start building up all the brick walls around. I have learned to unblock that and start tearing those walls down. So I do know it's possible to unblock love. I don't think it's necessarily easy, but it depends on your own experience. My own experience is like, I'm a love blocker for days, but I'm a love giver for days.
Yeah, but then also, I think part of unblocking love, meaning unblocking giving love and unblocking receiving love, is to realize, like, where does love stem from within mm-hmm. yourself? You know what I mean? Like, we can give, but that doesn't mean we even give to ourselves. You know what I mean? So, like, love can come in different forms, whether it's in your friendship, your family, your best friends, your romantic partner, all of that stuff. But then it's like, okay, to truly unblock yourself from love, like, what does that even look like to people? Because some people haven't even experienced love.
Because the definition of love is so unique to each individual. Mm-hmm. And you can only love other people as deeply as you love yourself. Mm-hmm. So for me, and I'll be completely transparent in this, there was a point in my life where I didn't feel like I loved myself. And now looking back, I did. It was just that my love was very surface for myself, if it makes sense. Mm-hmm. So as I've reached myself deeper in love, it's allowed me to unblock a lot of those walls. And when it comes to other people, it's allowed me to unblock a lot of those walls that I have with other people as well. There's still a wall built for show, but unblocking it is a real thing. But love always comes with self. It's always deep down. And y'all that listen to podcasts, you hear me say this all the time, you can only meet people as deeply as you mm-hmm. met yourself. So if you're trying to unblock love for someone else or unblock the love when it comes to other people, you're going to continue to fail with that, because it's not about the other person. It's about yourself.
I think it's also with condition. To truly love yourself, you know, unconditionally.
Hello?
Like, why do we have to have so many conditions to love?
Because society, or even
forget society.
Even when it comes to tradition, culture, a lot of them, we put those barriers on love, of what is lovable. what love looks like, what love can feel like, all of that stuff is put into a small box of whoever felt that or whoever thought that and made that up to be and posted out for the world. And that's what everyone is trying to attain.
Well, I think we just, as human beings, have a large and long journey, you know, when it comes to truly understanding what love is and how to love ourselves unconditionally. Once we get to that point, we can love anybody unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
We can unblock love and receive love the way we deserve to receive love and give love the way we deserve to give love, you know. And with that being said, I think it's a journey within each and every person, especially all of us as human beings, and we're spiritual beings, you know. So mm-hmm. we have to truly understand where we stand in our own journey to know where we're trying to go, you know.
I really want to throw the question back to the listeners too. So how hard is it for you to unblock love? Because I think when it comes to love in general, a lot of people think of the hurt and like the cycles that go on when they define love or whatever love is for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be another thing. This question can be taken so many ways. I realize that. We would love to hear from y'all. Shoot us a message. We would even love to feature somebody on here.
I feel like we can
have a whole season just on love.
Yeah. That'd be really nice. Really nice.
We're going to end off with the last question of Tia. We're going to both answer this, but Tia, what is your deepest fear?
Dang, son.
We putting you out here. Y'all listening?
Oh, you trying to put me out here though. I think my deepest fears have changed mm-hmm. over time. Like one of my deepest fears used to be getting hurt.
Mm.
And so I did everything I could to avoid it. But you can't avoid getting hurt. Somebody gonna hurt you, you know? So it didn't become like it was no longer a deep fear of mine because I just kind of accepted the fact that not everybody is gonna make you happy. Not everybody, because at the end of the day, you can get hurt in many different ways. But that doesn't mean I want to. It's just not a deep fear of mine. Deep fear, dang. I wouldn't even, you know, I thought I had this deep fear of spiders. And I think I'm coming to terms with that too. I would say a deep fear of mine would probably be leaving this plane without fulfilling my life purpose. And I wouldn't even say that's like a deep fear. It's just something that I realized, like, no, I really want to be the person that I was born to be.
Mm.
And if I leave this earth, and this is something I honestly just realized like within the past month, if I leave this earth and I did not do what I was sent here to do, like, I don't know what could happen from there, you know, but that's something I really want to accomplish in my life, is to fulfill my life purpose. And if I don't, like, what did I spend the rest of my life doing? If I didn't leave a legacy, if I didn't, you know, impact somebody's life, or if I didn't become the best person that I could be, what would happen? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, what would I leave people to remember me by? And I wouldn't say that's necessarily a deep fear of mine, but that is something that comes up for me, for sure.
So, we're asking what your deepest fear is. Do you have an answer to that?
I mean, if I think of a deep fear, I don't know. It's like kind of how I define fear. You know what I mean? Like, you face your fears in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that, like, I'm facing my fears every single day by being who I am and trying to become a better me. So, yeah, that's a deep fear of mine. It's one of my deepest fears. But I'm still trying to face it. So, I don't know. I don't really know how to explain that in a sense of, like, okay. You know, fear and, like, yeah. So
I think with time, because fear is an interesting thing for me, interesting concept, especially when it comes to me as a practitioner, just my own self-healing journey. I have definitely redefined what I think fear is a lot of different times. I have come to terms with a lot of my own fears and realized that some of the fears that I thought was one way, I realized it was something else actually. But I did realize that as you continue to heal, as you continue to meet yourself at different levels and different depths, that stuff kind of surfaces up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know 2 years ago, I couldn't have told you what my deepest fear was. 3 years ago, I said my deepest fear was falling in love. Then I went back 2 years and realized, like, I don't think that's it. Then it was just about a year ago that I realized, like, I thought I didn't really have a deepest fear, and it hit me that my deepest fear is actually, like, in a sense, settling down. And when it comes to settling down, it's just, like, on so many different levels, I guess, bringing a condition to my environment or to the people around me. That's one of my deepest fears, because I've never actually lived in a place more than a few years. Growing up, I went to 13 different schools. Even as an adult, I've lived countless number of places and countries at this point, and I'm always on the go. I always have friends who are great, but I don't have friends physically around me for way too long because I'm always moving. And then when it comes to home, like, I lived in a house for like a year and a half of my life. That's about it, ever. So with that, I realized there's a deeper fear that I have when it comes to, I like, maintaining being an individual, pursuing deeper things in life, being myself, continuing to grow, and then staying in one place, or being grounded in a location, and being grounded around people, or even being with somebody for a long time. Because it's just like, in my life, I don't equate my growth, my personal journey, my own love, my freedom, my everything with being in one area for too long, or being around certain people for too long.
That's some deep stuff.
It really is. But what happened is that I had to look at myself, and I had to meet myself to sit, because I was naive enough to think I didn't have a deepest fear at one point. And then I realized, like, dude, you do. You just have to look at things just a little bit different. But it's something I'm working through now, because I've noticed myself opening up for the first time, being like, yo, like, I'm kind of down to have, like, you know, a house or something, a place to base myself. Don't get it twisted. I will always travel, and it's okay for that, and it's beautiful for that to be a part of my journey. But it's also possible for me to have, like, a grounded location and still explore the world. Like, I can have it all. I really can. I just have to believe that, and I have to stop fearing that it has to be one ultimatum or the other.
So what's the worst that could happen?
Absolutely. I could be happy and live such a fulfilling life and have every aspect to it with no condition.
So is that the fear versus settling down?
No, the fear is not of having everything and being happy, or that I don't deserve that. That's not it. The fear is that I can't. Like, it's that settling down will rip the other part of me out. Mm-hmm. That's the fear. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess there's some work we work on ourselves internally about what we believe. And because that's such a foreign feeling to have, you know, settling down versus and also having, you know, the adventure and opportunity and the growth that you get from being on the road all the time or traveling and meeting people all the time, you know, you can still have that. And that foreign feeling of, you know, man, maybe if I settle down, like, I will lose this part of me. That feeling in itself can definitely trigger different things, you know?
For sure.
It's real stuff. Like, no, truly and honestly, it's real.
It's so real. And I think, this is what I think too. I think a lot more people have that fear but have not been able to recognize it. And I know I'm working through it a lot. And it's such a journey with it. And it's one recognizing that. But what I do see is most people around that I've ever been around that I see, they haven't been able to establish a good balance of that for themselves. A lot of people lose themselves because they have done X, Y, and Z, because they settle, because they take everything to go. Like, it becomes such an extreme thing where people get lost, they lose themselves, all of that things. And for me, some of the most important things, the richest things for me, it's just my own growth, my wisdom, my love and appreciation for others, my continued growth, and the way I continue to try to shed my ignorance and become a better person, all that stuff I see. So I work towards, and I see so much in people that step out of their comfort zone on a very regular basis.
Yeah.
And I'm just knowing that comfort zone is one thing, but I can, like, define my own. It's just, it's not what I see others do. I don't. It's not the sacrifice and loss I see so often, and it's not like a black and white thing with that. There's a good balance that happens, and I've seen the balance before too.
Yeah, I mean, but then also we as individuals have to remember that our journeys are so different.
Very different.
We are very much alike, but we are very much different. And I think with you, by carrying that as your value and your core, that's something that you cannot lose within yourself. Because at the end of the day, when people are in these relationships and when they are, you know, settling down and things shifting in that way, it's all about a matter of what your value is and how much value you put on that particular value, if that makes any sense. Like, mm-hmm. you sit there, you like, it's important for me to make sure that I keep that balance between, you know, my one life where I'm like excelling in my business and I'm, you know, working towards my goals and accomplishing personal goals that I have here. And when I also can balance that off with maybe like having a family and settling down and being somewhere for a longer period of time, and I don't have to, you know, lose anything. Yo. I can still like have it all.
As you're saying like, this, I feel like my one biggest thing is actually when it comes to location.
Yeah, girl.
Like my own biggest, my number one biggest thing is like being in one location for an extended period of time. Whoa.
I mean, eventually.
It's coming, it's because coming. I'm feeling it. Yeah. Y'all, I've literally been saying, hey, I've said the craziest things the past month. For other people who know me well, the craziest things that come out of my mouth was, you know, I'm actually looking for like a home. I'm telling you, people have fallen out around me. People were confused. People were like, baby, you play too much. And I'm sitting there, I know, right? But no, I'm actually serious. Well, that's how I know I've like really reached a different level of myself.
It's very true. I've known you for 8 years. Like, you saying that is big. It's, I know from my point of view, it becomes one of those things where I realize like, hey, we're growing. So this isn't really a shock for me because I knew this was coming because I know you. Duh.
Oh my gosh. Okay?
But also I realized like you're going to have a home to do what you want to do. And yeah, a location that at the end of the day, you're going to have multiple locations. Okay. Like you don't.
Girl, you too though. Like, oh, where know. Are you?
I already
Hello.
Know.
Tierra.
I already know. For me,
it's. And by the way, it's like basically Tierra's birthday. So we want to wish her a happy birthday because we're not going to talk about her age anymore. You know, once you get past a certain age, it doesn't even matter.
Thank you.
So we're going to wish her a happy 21st birthday then.
Yo, my birthday is technically tomorrow.
And Virgo season, baby.
I am a Virgo. And, you know, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for, you know, sharing that with the world. I wouldn't have done it, so.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, like, I mean, we look at it like how many birthdays we done spent with one another.
Girl, since I've known you, I feel like every birthday I've been there. Nah. No matter which country.
Nah.
Which country
did
I
the only
oh,
time
no, when Connecticut. We, when, I lived, when you lived in Connecticut.
And you were in Wisconsin.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that right. was the only time we weren't there for each other's birthdays at that moment. And then it was like one time in college. I went out of town. Either way, we just spent a bunch of birthdays with each other.
In a couple different countries now.
In a couple different countries.
And we're actually in the one place Tierra says she didn't want to be for her birthday.
Y'all, let me tell y'all, okay? So, I don't know if y'all know anything about, like, astral cartography. I'm not an astrologer, but I definitely am interested in, like, the astrology and everything. So, you know, when you look at your astral cartography, you could tell, like, what places and locations on a map that has really good energy or not so good energy for you. And for some reason, like, the Bay Area has some interesting energy for me. Not bad energy, but just very interesting. And so I spent my last birthday in Vietnam, and I wanted to be somewhere, you know, really cool and somewhere I've never been before. And how did I end up back in San Francisco? for my birthday again.
Because she's making some big woman moves. That's what happened. You know, it doesn't even matter because we're here for like 2 more weeks or 3 weeks. 2.5?
2.5 weeks.
Okay, don't freak
out. I was like, dang.
2.5 weeks, and then we are off back out of the country traveling.
Yeah, no, I ain't complaining. Look, here's the thing. I am just very grateful to have a birthday and to spend it with people that I enjoy and who care about me. And it doesn't even have to be a whole thing about celebrating my birthday. Honestly, I really just care about if everybody else is happy. But I really...
But it's your birthday. It's about if you're happy.
Listen, Linda, listen. It's about people being happy. And if that's how my mind works, I don't really care about my own happiness simply because y'all being happy is what makes me happy. So, yeah, it's all about Tierra because it's Tierra's birthday. But at the end of the day, if everybody isn't happy, I'm not going to be happy.
So let's start celebrating your birthday so Tierra can be happy. Thank y'all so much for listening to the Healers from the Trap podcast. We are coming to you live. Tierra and Maybe. The Light Sisters are here. Catch you later. Thank you so much for listening and blessings and light to you all. The Healers from the Trap podcast is brought to you by the organizers of the Healers of Color movement. Join us in the conversation and in upcoming events. Check us out at www.healersofcolormovement.com. See you next time.